This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn Roshan and Noel. In about half an hour, we're going to be talking about the government's plan to amend Act 118 to help buyers of abandoned home projects with lawyer Khairul Shaharuddin. Now, we're also asking you, what's the most effective way to prevent abandoned property projects? Is it limit new developers, punish errant developers, build to sell, or something else? Let us know what you think over on the BFM Twitter account at BFM Radio. But in the meantime, we're turning our spotlight onto the Welfare Department, which celebrates 75 years since its establishment this week. Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced several policy measures to help strengthen the department, including restructuring posts and positions within it.
Yes, I think that is very much needed. Also, providing special allowances for staff serving with senior citizens and people with disabilities, and drafting a Social Workers Profession Act to recognise the expertise of social workers.
The discussion on strengthening the Welfare Department is long overdue, and the pandemic has raised even more concerns over whether we are adequately protecting the vulnerable in our society.
So for some thoughts on the role of the Welfare Department and our overall social protection system, we're speaking this morning to Emeritus Professor Dr. Norma Mansour, Director of the Social Wellbeing Research Centre of University of Malaya. Good morning, Dr. Norma. Thanks for joining us today. Now, help us understand the breadth of work that the Welfare Department does. What is the department mandated to do, and what's the scope of their responsibilities?
The Welfare Department was started by the British after the war, but it has extended to providing protection and rehabilitation to the target groups. The target groups are children, people with disabilities, older persons, destitute persons, victims of natural disaster, and women, girls, single parents. All of these are under the purview of the Department of Welfare. It is about creating a caring society. It is also about developing attitudinal change and building capacity towards self-reliance. So they have a big mandate, and it is becoming more strategic when we talk about development. Social development is very strategic, that one cannot ignore the social aspects of development if one were to just focus on economic development. And Malaysia has reached a stage where economically we're doing pretty well, but a big percentage of the Malaysian population are still not necessarily cared for, and the inequality, etc., that's within the country or within our society is something that is the scope of the work of the Welfare Department.
I wonder, though, how well do the federal and state governments work together when it comes to providing welfare services?
Right. I think this is the difficulty. This is the challenge, because although it is supposed to be the responsibility of both the federal and the state government, theoretically, it is supposed to be better, because you're talking about dealing with local people, hence the local government should be playing a bigger role. However, in their implementation, because of the social welfare did not or was not a department that is as strong as our trade and economic department, they receive less attention. And a lot of the staff, their posts and all that, especially at the state level, it was the SPM level graduates, this was seen as a profession that is less superior compared to other professions. And I think it's high time that we start at our social development when we talk about becoming a better society, becoming a wealthier society, that we have to care for our weak.
So what's your assessment of how effective JKM is in its welfare society, service delivery and outreach? What are the main gaps that you see?
The Welfare Department has been for decades lacking in resources, lacking in attention, although they cover a wide range of target groups. And this has been made worse by not having permanent posts, because posts were frozen for the public sector. And they rely on voluntary workers, on voluntary officers, on contract for service officers. So it's timely that the government to look at and to reform the welfare department. We are talking about the Malaysian society becoming, we are an aging nation, where in 2021, about 1.2 million people are 70 years and older. And not everyone will have their family to care for. And as I mentioned earlier, that the welfare department covers the old folks' home. It covers home visits, home care, and all those services, where for some cases it's covered by volunteer workers. So when a sector is seen as less superior compared to other sectors, it is also difficult for the sector to attract good and committed staff. But they have been contributing to the welfare of this group of Malaysians.
Now, in this context, what do you see as the best way to strengthen the welfare department then?
I think last year a bill was presented to Parliament to support the social worker as a profession. Yeah, we are also pushing at the centre, and a few of us who are working in this area are pushing for a more social work to become a profession, because that's the only way that you can strengthen the sector. And I think we have to look at strengthening the welfare department as part of the social protection reform. Yeah, Malaysia need this, because this is what we thought as part of the care economy. Yeah, it is going to be an emerging sector. More older people that will need care. As I mentioned, that the Malaysian society has developed, has changed over the years. Yeah, so one cannot just rely on family or oneself. There are many Malaysians who stay single, who do not have family members to care for, and do not have enough funds for them to support themselves and to go into retirement homes. Therefore, more and more of this type of services and related services will be required. So I would certainly support strengthening the social department, in the ministry,
I read a lot about cash handouts. It's easy to do and good for optics, but it's quite short-term. Should we take a more comprehensive approach, for example, expand welfare services and reduce cash handouts?
It's got to be both. Now, social protection is not just about social assistance, giving cash transfer. It is also about caring. There have been discussions in this as well. It is about providing services and better health care for the elderly. At the same time, social protection emphasizes about individuals caring, working for themselves and saving for their old age. But I think the discussion has to cover a larger issue of what is the type of social protection that we want to see for this country. And I've been saying on this platform, on your BFM, that we have to talk. It's not just the government, but I think private sector and all that has to talk about what will be, because we are all growing old. So if we don't address this issue of lack of savings, poor savings among Malaysians, not having insurance, not having, although there is a public health care, but we have to also think of how we want to finance our health care. So, and the issue will have to be on the revenue side. How do we generate the revenue to support an aging or an aged population? So I'm glad that more and more forums and organizations and platforms are discussing about social protection or the future of social protection in Malaysia.
Dr. Norma, thanks so much for joining us today. That was Emeritus Professor Dr. Norma Mansour, Director of the Social Wellbeing Research Centre at University Malaya. Now, we also recently spoke with Dr. Suhami Muhammad, who's President of the Malaysian Association of Social Workers. That was just slightly under a month ago. And that was talking about the drafting of the Social Work Profession Bill, which is also in the works. You can find that podcast under the title Professionalizing the World of Social Work to hear more of that conversation.
I'm looking at the producer notes here. So in terms of federal spending, Malaysia spends about 1% of GDP between 1997 to 2014 on social welfare expenditure. And they are quoting figures from ADB. But this, in contrast, developed countries allocate something like 25 to 30% of GDP. So as Malaysia thinks about, you know, moving up to develop country status and becoming a more humane society, we'll need to think about ramping up on social welfare payments. However, it shouldn't be about how much we spend, it should be how we are spending that money. Mm-hmm. And I think this requires, if it's not done yet, a very comprehensive review of all the welfare services that we're providing, because there are actually a number of government agencies and NGOs, as well as religious bodies that are involved in giving out aid. So the last thing we want to do is to duplicate aid, duplicate the work, and we're still missing out those who should be getting some aid, but it's not.
Yes, indeed. So certainly an outstanding issue in the country that hopefully will be resolved somewhat with the Social Work Profession Bill, as well as with measures to reform the department overall. But right now we're heading into the 7:30 news bulletin, and up next, Ryan Sweet of Moody's Analytics on their global vaccine tracker. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.